Thanks, Meredith. I'll go into a little bit more detail then about the actual pilot. And this is something that is actually very exciting for us because this is the first time at CSTE where we've actually got together local health departments, state health departments, and federal officials on a work group, to my knowledge, in this committee. And it involved a lot of work, and so I'm just excited that we were able to get it off the ground. But the premise for, as a work group, we decided that the features of travel history that we thought we wanted to include in a pilot were standardized. So we wanted to try to avoid having different ways that travel history was asked. Come up with a way that would be useful for most diseases, knowing that one size doesn't fit everything, but one size might fit a lot, and maybe it's better than the system that we're using currently. We wanted to keep it really simple because we really understand that people in the field, particularly disease investigators, already have a large work burden. We were hoping that whatever system we came up with wasn't any additional work. It was just a better way for them to collect the information they're already asking. And then we also wanted to make sure that we could do analysis more easily. And so the old system, which we saw for many diseases in New Mexico, where you just could enter travel history through text typing, we wanted to have a mix of categorical and free text fields where you could put detail that you need in the free text, but at least some quick analyses might be done through categorical fields. So these were kind of our three systems that we wanted to make sure we included. And we had a lot of discussion about what diseases to include or not include in the pilot. It actually started with only five. It ended up expanding to nine. Seven of them are zoonotic and vector-borne diseases. I'll show you that on the next slide. And two of them are waterborne diseases. And we looked at primarily just a seven-month period during the summer when these zoonotic, vector-borne, and waterborne diseases have higher prevalence. And we didn't want to make it too long of a pilot so that we would minimize the burden again on our jurisdictions. A large part of what we did was actually just recruit the jurisdictions. And this was, as is often the case in public health, is just friends of friends within the members of our work group. We kind of recruited amongst people we already knew and got them to participate. There was no funding with this, so again, we just had to kind of make sure that people understood the project, they could see what their contribution would be to improving surveillance practice around travel history, and that was the best carrot that we could provide. Besides the actual data collection on the fields, we also did a survey of case investigators, a modified version of the one we did in New Mexico, looking at knowledge, attitudes, and practices. And we haven't disseminated this yet, but the post-intervention survey we hope to disseminate next January. And that will look more at the feasibility, the ease of implementation, how useful were these questions to the people that completed them. So this table shows the nine different diseases that we looked at. All of these diseases are nationally notifiable with the exception of tick-borne relapsing fever, which is only reportable in 12 Western U.S. states. But you can see from the national case counts over this three-year period from 2009 to 2011, we had a variety in terms of case incidence. So the least common disease is tularemia, which has about 100 to 200 cases per year in the United States, and then ranging up to Lyme disease, where you have at least 33,000, and many people believe many more, because it's very much an underreported disease. For our pilot, though, we only looked at cases that had documented erythema migrans rash, because then we could have some certainty that the exposure occurred recently, that you could ask for a travel history during that period. A lot of other Lyme disease cases, which based on serology or other methods, it's really hard to know when the exposure occurred, so travel history could be challenging to collect. The other diseases I would just want to note are probably cryptosporidiosis and giardiasis. Those are our two waterborne diseases, and those are higher incidence than some of these other zoonotic and vector-borne diseases. So we hope to get more cases from these two than we would from some of these other cases. Altogether, we're hoping, we're still collecting data from our different jurisdictions. We're hoping to get at least 500 case reports from the 25 jurisdictions that participated. I'll show you that later over this last 7 months. And the data collection form, we try to keep it really simple. Again, this is kind of a little bit of extra work because we're working with so many jurisdictions, we couldn't really have a common way to do it. We just had a one-page form. Top half is very basic demographic information. There's nothing really novel here. The second part of the page, which is Meredith showed as well, I want to walk through a little bit more closely. We had a lot of discussion about how to phrase these questions, and this is just, you know, a pilot. We hope that this maybe is a better way, but, you know, we'll see what we get feedback-wise from all the jurisdictions. We wanted to have check boxes so that people could, you know, very clearly say whether or not, for example, they traveled outside their county, and that was, again, a lot of discussion about how to define travel, because people have different ideas of that, but we tried to do it in a way that made sense for a lot of diseases, we thought. Check boxes for if you traveled out of state or if you traveled internationally. And then a text area where you can actually put in some of those details and hopefully capture information that will be useful. And then the second part of the question is something that is not really done within travel history. It's something that maybe you might see appended to an exposure question. So, for example, if there's a tick-borne disease, there might be a question about, did you get bitten by a tick in a park? But it's kind of embedded within exposure. We wanted to highlight that this section of the investigation is really looking at travel and location-based exposures, locations where you might do some kind of site investigation or some kind of educational intervention, and it could help to guide that process. And so, first part, we asked about specifically about parks and public lands. Second one's about beaches, lakes, water source resources. Third is kind of festivals, county state fairs. And fourth is other large public gatherings, things where you might be concerned about person-to-person transmission. And so we brainstormed and came up with this kind of basic list that could be a general checklist. And again, we have to keep in mind that if you go through a standardized approach, you end up with some questions that may be less relevant to diseases and some questions that are more relevant. But we were thinking about it from the perspective of the disease investigator. So they have a standardized way that they're asking for different diseases, and that they're more likely to remember and to recall how to ask these questions and how to record the information. So we tried this, and we'll see what people say. We ended up getting 25 different jurisdictions to participate. They're from all different HHS regions, all 10 HHS regions in the country. We do have kind of a big cluster coming from Texas, where we had two work group members, and also kind of a big cluster up here in the upper Midwest. About a quarter of the jurisdictions participating were at the state level, about 44% from county level, and 16% city and county, and 12% from the city. So within these 25 jurisdictions, we did have a nice range of the different types of jurisdictions. I didn't really show it here, but we had some very large cities like Chicago. We had a very large county like Maricopa, Phoenix. They're participating. And then we have some very small counties where they have a population of like 20 to 30,000 people. And again, we just wanted to make sure that we included anyone who was interested in participating in this project, and that they would be able to have some say and feedback about whether this worked or not for them. I also want to note that the jurisdictions didn't all necessarily participate in all 9 diseases. They got to choose which diseases that they wanted to participate in. Now, travel collection ended October 31st, so just a few weeks ago, and our hope was that we would have some data to show for this presentation, but we've only had a few health departments get back to us on this because they're all just overloaded right now with Ebola, and so I haven't really been trying to bother them. After the new year, we'll try and get those data and then have them all summarized, but right now we don't have a lot to show you from that. I can say anecdotally that almost all the jurisdictions I've heard from, probably about half, they did not have problems with this form. I mean, they felt that it was already information they were asking. It just gave them a format and a structure where they could record the information. So it wasn't, anecdotally at least, a huge burden. I can show you a little bit of the highlights from the pre-intervention survey, which we distributed in April of this year. We had a high response rate of 85%. And we had a range of respondents. Most of the people who responded were public health nurses or epidemiologists. And kind of an equal distribution of kind of newer employees versus more seasoned employees. And 70% were at the local level, cities or counties, and about 30% from the state, region, or district level. And in terms of their attitudes and practices on travel history, this first part of the table, I just want to show you that pretty much universally everyone felt that travel history was important. for zoonotic and vector-borne diseases and food and waterborne diseases in particular, but even 88% said for any infectious disease. You know, travel history is something that is relevant and important. The middle of this table I thought was interesting as well. Most travel history data are captured by categorical questions. 77% said yes. And most travel history data are captured by free text narratives. 46% agreed or strongly agreed with that. I actually thought that there would be more, you know, that said that travel history data are captured by free text, particularly for diseases where that's the only option to record information. But maybe this reflects that when there is only a free text option to record travel history, many people may ignore that or just not record anything at all. And so there's actually no travel history data that are captured. It's hard to know, but that's my theory for why that is so low. And then the last two parts of this table, I think, really do support what we're trying to do with this pilot, where having standardized travel history questions for diseases would improve data quality, and having standardized electronic fields across diseases would improve data quality. Over 85% of the people that participated in this pilot agreed that that would agree or strongly agree that that would be the case. Barriers to collecting high-quality travel history data. So we tried to get a sense from the survey what might be keeping people from recording travel history data. And actually, none of the barriers were that commonly agreed or strongly agreed to. Highest was at 35%. Travel history data are not easily entered into electronic surveillance systems. That's certainly something we're addressing with the pilot. Other ones that were more common were case patients do not recall travel history with great accuracy. That's not something we can really control. The only thing that I could say there is try to interview people as soon as possible before they forget, you know, what their travel history is or their food history. And that's certainly something that investigators try to do anyway on a daily basis. And then the other third one here, the most common at 22%, have not been adequately trained. And what we have learned is that, in general, there's not a lot of training that happens with disease investigation. People just learn on the job based on what other people have taught them in their health department, and there's not necessarily any formal training. And so that's something that we can explore more with CSTE. Our next steps, as Meredith said, is we do need to collect all these data, analyze them. We want to eventually have a final report, both for CSTE as well as potentially a manuscript. And if the data are supportive of moving further with this, we'd like to draft a CSTE position statement, get support that can be sponsored by one of the state epidemiologists, and then have it voted on by the membership at CSTE to see if we can improve practices on a more global level and go beyond this pilot project. The other thing I really want to just encourage is that this area of travel history is very poorly studied. There's almost no literature at all about this, and our efforts, we're still in the process of publishing the work from New Mexico, but we hope that other people will find value in this, perhaps working with the CSTE Surveillance Practice Implementation Subcommittee, to come up with other ideas about how we might improve this, because I think Ebola, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of in the news right now, and it's kind of elevating the idea that travel history is important to ask. And, of course, it is a clinical audience, but still that's an opportunity where maybe we can revisit these processes about how we collect information across the board, across these different jurisdictions. So that's my hope, is that the work that we do here at the National Park Service and with CST is really just planting seed for other studies that can be done on travel history. And with that, this is my contact information. I'm happy to provide any more details about the New Mexico study or the current pilot.